Hello. This is the listening part of your Year 12 exam in English of 2013. It will consist of three tasks. You will hear the texts twice. Task 1. An interview with an old lady. You will hear an interview with Vera Renouf. Listen to Vera Renouf's memories about her life on Jersey Island and circle the correct option. You have a minute to read the task.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Jersey Lunchtime Radio, where this morning we're talking to a very special lady, Mrs. Vera Renouf. Tomorrow is Vera's 90th birthday, and believe it or not, she's just published a book of her memories of the island. We've asked her to come in and share some of those memories with us. Good morning, Vera.
Hello.
Vera, you were born here in Jersey, weren't you?
That's right. I've lived here my whole life and I've never left the island.
Not once?
No, never.
That's amazing. Now, I guess that in 90 years you've seen many changes here.
I certainly have.
Tell us some of your early memories, Vera, and maybe how things aren't like that anymore.
Oh, that's easy. Let me see. Well, you know, I can remember going for walks on the beach. We live near the beach, you see. My father used to take me on Sunday mornings to walk there. And the beach was almost empty. Now there are tourists everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, and of course, some days you couldn't walk on the beach because that was where the planes landed. Before they built the airport, they used to land there. The planes only brought letters, though, not many passengers.
Amazing. And of course, you probably remember the railway line, too.
Oh, yes. It went along the south coast. It's gone now, of course, but it was smashing in summer. Take the train and just go for a ride.
Lovely.
And of course, there were the farmers from France every summer. The men who used to come for the summer and help to dig up the potatoes and pick the tomatoes, you know. You don't see them anymore.
But you used to see them a lot.
Oh, yes. There was a little bar near our house. The men used to sit there after work and drink beer and tell jokes in Jersey French. I used to walk past them on my way home from school.
But you couldn't understand them.
Not at first, but when I was older, I learned it. I fell in love with a Frenchman, one of the men who came over. He taught me lots of French.
Didn't they teach it at your school?
Well, yes, but we didn't learn very much there. It was a good school, though, an all-girls school, of course. It was called St. Martin's, but it closed a long time ago. It was very strict. The rules were strict. We girls could hardly do anything at all.
And your home life, was it nice?
I had a lovely family. Very happy we were. We did almost everything together. At the weekends, we used to go out to sea with my father in his boat and catch octopuses. Little black ones they were. And then we'd take them home and hang them up on the washing line.
On the washing line?
Yes. We used to hang them there to dry before we could cook and eat them. but I can't remember the last time now that I ate octopus.
Well, we've got a special treat for you here today. As it's lunchtime, and we knew you loved octopus, we've made a special plate for you.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you so much. That's really very kind.
You have a minute now to check your work. Then you will hear the text a second time.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Jersey Lunchtime Radio, where this morning we're talking to a very special lady, Mrs. Vera Renouf. Tomorrow is Vera's 90th birthday, and believe it or not, she's just published a book of her memories of the island. We've asked her to come in and share some of those memories with us. Good morning, Vera.
Hello.
Vera, you were born here in Jersey, weren't you?
That's right. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never left the island.
Not once?
No, never.
That's amazing. Now, I guess that in 90 years you've seen many changes here.
I certainly have.
Tell us some of your early memories, Vera, and maybe how things aren't like that anymore.
Oh, that's easy. let me see. Well, you know, I can remember going for walks on the beach. We live near the beach, you see. My father used to take me on Sunday mornings to walk there. And the beach was almost empty. Now there are tourists everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, and of course, some days you couldn't walk on the beach because that was where the planes landed. Before they built the airport, they used to land there. The planes only brought letters, though, not many passengers.
Amazing. And of course, you probably remember the railway line, too.
Oh, yes. It went along the south coast. It's gone now, of course, but it was smashing in summer. Take the train and just go for a ride.
Lovely.
And of course, there were the farmers from France every summer. The men who used to come for the summer and help to dig up the potatoes and pick the tomatoes, you know. You don't see them anymore.
But you used to see them a lot.
Oh, yes. There was a little bar near our house. The men used to sit there after work and drink beer and tell jokes in Jersey French. I used to walk past them on my way home from school.
But you couldn't understand them.
Not at first, but when I was older, I learned it. I fell in love with a Frenchman, one of the men who came over. He taught me lots of French.
Didn't they teach it at your school?
Well, yes, but we didn't learn very much there. It was a good school, though, an all-girls school, of course. It was called St. Martin's, but it closed a long time ago. It was very strict. The rules were strict. We girls could hardly do anything at all.
And your home life, was it nice?
I had a lovely family. Very happy we were. We did almost everything together. At the weekends, we used to go out to sea with my father in his boat and catch octopuses. Little black ones they were. And then we'd take them home and hang them up on the washing line.
On the washing line?
Yes. We used to hang them there to dry before we could cook and eat them. But I can't remember the last time now that I ate octopus.
Well, we've got a special treat for you here today. as it's lunchtime, and we knew you loved octopus, we've made a special plate for you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. That's really very kind.
There is a minute now to finish the task. This is the end of task one. Go on to task two. Task two, laws of nature. Listen to an interview with an American Indian explaining their understanding of the world. Read the statements and choose those which describe the life philosophy of Cherokees. Write the letter of the correct statement in the box provided. Use only one letter per box. Look at the example. You have a minute to read the task.
Hi, I'm here with David Winston, a Cherokee medicine priest. David, thank you for coming to talk to us today. Would you tell us a little bit about the Cherokee beliefs regarding the environment and conservation?
Basically, Cherokee tradition tells us that we're a part of nature and we depend on nature for our life. So we don't compete with it and we're not trying to tame it. We're trying to live with it.
It's different from our contemporary view, I guess, that nature exists for the benefit of people.
Well, yeah, we believe that we're a part of what we call the great life. And as part of the great life, we are as important as everything else, but certainly no more important than anything else. And we feel that within the great life, there are what we call the laws of nature.
The laws of nature. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we believe that there are many laws of nature, but there are three great laws of nature. And those are the laws that tell us how we have to live in relationship to everything else. The first law of nature is that you don't take any life without real reason. And a real reason would be for food, for medicine, for protection. Those would be the reasons for taking life, but basically life is sacred.
Uh-huh. So you shouldn't kill needlessly. Would that include plants?
Absolutely. We believe everything is alive. In fact, we believe stones are alive.
Oh, interesting. And what about the second law?
The second law is that everything we do should serve the great life.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, what we mean is that we believe there's one spirit that fills all things, humans, plants, rocks, whatever. And the sum of all of that and more is what we call the great life. And so we all are part of this same great life, and everything we do affects the great life, and everything that happens within the great life affects us. So it's very, very important that within the second law of nature, that what we do will not harm other parts of the great life.
I wonder if you could give an example.
Well, I could give a lot of examples, and on a very personal, simple level, an example could be, for instance, lots of people might go out and get an electric toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it works a little bit better. I have a manual toothbrush, and I've used one for my whole life, and it works just fine. To use the electricity necessary to power that electric toothbrush requires coal or nuclear power that harms the air, it harms the water, it harms the great life.
I see. So we don't really need it. Okay, so that's two. And what about the third law?
The third law basically is that we don't pollute where we live. And where we live is not just our home, it's not just our country, it's this planet, this sacred altar we call the Earth. We don't pour chemical wastes down the drain because they all wind up in the water. So basically, we don't pollute the Earth.
Well, they make sense, but it seems it's a little difficult to live by those three laws today. I mean, in this industrialized society, how could you apply the rules?
Well, it's more challenging. We still have a lot of options. There's small things that each one of us can do, things like recycling, things like choosing what we buy and buying things carefully. There are other things we can do instead of using the car for every short trip to the store, save them up so we use the car as little as possible. We can do things like organic gardening. There are a lot of things that we can do to bring these laws into our lives. And ultimately, our lives really depend on these. And the great life can live without us, but we can't live without the great life.
Well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about today. Thanks, David Winston, for talking to us.
You're welcome.
You have a minute now to check your work. Then you will hear the text a second time.
Hi, I'm here with David Winston, a Cherokee medicine priest. David, thank you for coming to talk to us today. Would you tell us a little bit about the Cherokee beliefs regarding the environment and conservation?
Basically, Cherokee tradition tells us that we're a part of nature, and we depend on nature for our life. So we don't compete with it, and we're not trying to tame it. We're trying to live with it.
It's different from our contemporary view, I guess, that nature exists for the benefit of people.
Well, yeah, we believe that we're a part of what we call the great life. And as part of the great life, we are as important as everything else, but certainly no more important than anything else. And we feel that within the great life, there are what we call the laws of nature.
The laws of nature. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we believe that there are many laws of nature, but there are three great laws of nature. And those are the laws that tell us how we have to live in relationship to everything else. The first law of nature is that you don't take any life without real reason. And a real reason would be for food, for medicine, for protection. Those would be the reasons for taking life, but basically, life is sacred.
Uh-huh. So you shouldn't kill needlessly. Would that include plants?
Absolutely. We believe everything is alive. In fact, we believe stones are alive.
Oh, interesting. And what about the second law?
The second law is that everything we do should serve the great life.
What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, what we mean is that we believe there's one spirit that fills all things, humans, plants, rocks, whatever. And the sum of all of that and more is what we call the great life. And so we all are part of this same great life, and everything we do affects the great life, and everything that happens within the great life affects us. So it's very, very important that within the second law of nature, that what we do will not harm other parts of the great life.
I wonder if you could give an example.
Well, I could give a lot of examples, and on a very personal, simple level, an example could be, for instance, lots of people might go out and get an electric toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it works a little bit better. I have a manual toothbrush, and I've used one for my whole life, and it works just fine. To use the electricity necessary to power that electric toothbrush requires coal or nuclear power that harms the air, it harms the water, it harms the great life.
I see. So we don't really need it. Okay, so that's two. And what about the third law?
The third law basically is that we don't pollute where we live. And where we live is not just our home, it's not just our country, it's this planet, this sacred altar we call the Earth. We don't pour chemical wastes down the drain because they all wind up in the water. So basically, we don't pollute the Earth.
Well, they make sense, but it seems it's a little difficult to live by those three laws today. I mean, in this industrialized society, how could you apply the rules?
Well, it's more challenging. We still have a lot of options. There's small things that each one of us can do, things like recycling, things like choosing what we buy and buying things carefully. There are other things we can do instead of using the car for every short trip to the store, save them up so we use the car as little as possible. We can do things like organic gardening. There are a lot of things that we can do to bring these laws into our lives. And ultimately, our lives really depend on these. And the great life can live without us, but we can't live without the great life.
Well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about today. Thanks, David Winston, for talking to us.
You're welcome.
There is a minute now to finish the task. This is the end of task 2. Go on to task 3. Task 3, volunteer's job. Listen to Jay talking about her experience doing volunteer work and fill the gaps with the missing information. Use no more than 5 words per gap. Look at the example. You have a minute to read the task.
and then went to Bolivia and I volunteered with an amazing organisation called Intiwara Yasi. It's a refuge for animals, and I was working with a puma, and I was taking a puma for walks through the Bolivian jungle.
That's a little bit dangerous.
A little bit dangerous, yeah. A few people got some claws sunk into them while I was there, but I never did. I never got any interesting scars. I was quite disappointed.
Mm.
No one got eaten, though.
Oh, that's all right, then.
There was an incident just before I got there where the volunteers were all inside a cage and the jaguar was outside the cage, which was a bit of an interesting one. I'm glad I wasn't there for that. Yeah, I also had to try and teach a parrot how to fly. That was an interesting one. It involved a lot of running around and catapulting the poor thing into the air. But he did quite well. I'm sure he was better by the time I left, if slightly concussed. he was gorgeous. I love that parrot. Yeah, and it was the organisation Intiwara Yasi actually has, at the time it had two sites, I think it has three now, but of the two sites I was in the kind of the wilder one. It was more remote, and there wasn't really a town. The nearest town was kind of like an hour's bus journey away or something. But yeah, it was great, and there's just monkeys wandering around, and they'll sit on your shoulders and curl their tail around your neck. And there was a tiny little night monkey came while we were there, and it would sit on your head and sometimes wee on your head. Really amazing experience, particularly the first 2 weeks. In the second 2 weeks, the rainy season started, and that got quite hard going, mainly because of the mosquitoes. They were just unbelievable. I've never seen so many. You literally had to go out with two shirts on, thick trousers, boots, gloves, and a hat with a veil. And if you took your glove off, within seconds, it would just be covered. It was just, yeah, it was crazy. And the noise, the constant noise of going to the toilet was also fun. The last 2 weeks were less fantastic, still very enjoyable, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone who doesn't mind roughing it a bit and likes animals.
Okay. You have a minute now to check your work. Then you will hear the text a second time.
And then went to Bolivia and I volunteered with an amazing organisation called Intiwara Yasi. It's a refuge for animals, and I was working with a puma, and I was taking a puma for walks through the Bolivian jungle.
That's a little bit dangerous.
A little bit dangerous, yeah. A few people got some claws sunk into them while I was there, but I never did. I never got any interesting scars. I was quite disappointed.
Mm.
No one got eaten, though.
Oh, that's all right, then.
There was an incident just before I got there where the volunteers were all inside a cage and the jaguar was outside the cage, which was a bit of an interesting one. I'm glad I wasn't there for that. Yeah, I also had to try and teach a parrot how to fly. That was an interesting one. It involved a lot of running around and catapulting the poor thing into the air. But he did quite well. I'm sure he was better by the time I left, if slightly concussed. he was gorgeous. I love that parrot. Yeah, and it was the organisation Intiwara Yasi actually has, at the time it had two sites, I think it has three now, but of the two sites I was in the kind of the wilder one. It was more remote, and there wasn't really a town. The nearest town was kind of like an hour's bus journey away or something. But yeah, it was great, and there's just monkeys wandering around, and they'll sit on your shoulders and curl their tail around your neck. And there was a tiny little night monkey came while we were there, and it would sit on your head and sometimes wee on your head. Really amazing experience, particularly the first 2 weeks. In the second 2 weeks, the rainy season started, and that got quite hard going, mainly because of the mosquitoes. They were just unbelievable. I've never seen so many. You literally had to go out with 2 shirts on, thick trousers, boots, gloves, and a hat with a veil. And if you took your glove off, within seconds, it would just be covered. It was just... Yeah, it was great. And the noise, the constant noise of going to the toilet was also fun. The last 2 weeks were less fantastic, still very enjoyable, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone who doesn't mind roughing it a bit and likes animals.
Okay. There is a minute now to finish the task. This is the end of task 3 and the whole listening test.